Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks so much for being with us. Our number is 888-318-7884. It's a call-in show, so we need you. Second hour, it'll be a pro-life open forum with Dr. George Delgado. This hour, it's Ask a Priest. You can ask anything that it would be appropriate to ask a priest about. Maybe you have a theological question, a doctrinal question, a Bible question, but maybe you have a question about your prayer life or your family life or sacraments. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Jesuit priest, Father David McConey. Father McConey is a professor of historical theology at St. Louis University and the director of that school's Catholic Studies Center. He's also the editor of the Homiletic and Pastoral Review and the author of a whole bunch of books. Father David McConey, thank you for being with us. No? All right. I can't hear him. We'll get him. We'll get him in a second. So Ask a Priest, let me just give you the number again. Let me just see if anybody's calling. 888-318-7884, the number. 888-318-7884. It's probably going to take them a second to get Father on the line, which is fine because it takes us a second to process the calls. Do we have Father? All right, we'll have him in a second. Big news today, and we'll talk with Father about that a little bit, and I'm interested to hear what Dr. Delgado has to say about it in the second hour. You maybe have heard the news. The Supreme Court refused to hear a case about abortion in Texas. And if you don't know, around the world, here in the United States, we have about the most radical abortion laws in the world. And that's according to the Washington Post. That's not some crazy Catholic, take. That's a mainstream media take. And seems that that might be changing bit by bit, little by little. We might be seeing an improvement in that. So that is really, really good news. And maybe you'll want to call Dr. Delgado the second hour about that. You can ask Father if you have a pro-life question for Father as well. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It may not be the most significant thing that has ever happened, this kind of failure to take action by the Supreme Court, but it certainly seems to be speaking volumes because in the state of Texas, today, for the first time since the very early 1970s, when the Roe versus Wade decision was handed down, there are virtually no abortions being performed in that state, and they are not available except in certain very circumscribed circumstances. So for those of us who are pro-life, this is a big day here in the United States, and many of you around the world just may not know this about the United States, that pretty much, for the most part, in many parts of the United States, almost all of the United States, a child in the womb can have its life taken all the way up to the moment of delivery. As a matter of fact, during the moment of delivery. And I don't know if any of you have had this experience, but I've had this experience recently several times with women, just visiting with women who are pregnant and them saying something like, that I'm 20 weeks along or whatnot. And this is a woman that's clearly carrying a baby. And this, in the United States, we do not treat that as a relevant fact. We treat that as an inconvenience, I suppose, or a fact that is not to be admitted. And that's why we are radicals here in the United States. Many people around the world know that we're a predominantly Christian country, and we're, in general, on many things, much more conservative than the rest of the world. But when it comes to abortion, we are radicals, and we have been radicals, and we have not had a choice about that because the courts have not allowed anything but the most radical understanding about that. So this is pretty good news for us, and we're very, very happy about that. If you want to call about that, and ask about that, you want to talk about your own pro-life experience, you're welcome to call. But the second hour will be a pro-life open forum with Dr. George Delgado. And I'm looking forward to talking with Dr. Delgado about it because he is one of those people who's been on, and he has paid a cost for it. He has been on the front lines of the pro-life effort. On National Public Radio, as I heard us called today, anti-abortion advocates, which I personally, I never shy away from that label. I mean, pro-life is a perfectly good label, but I am anti-abortion, and I'm in addition to being pro-life. Anti-abortion meaning We can't kill vulnerable people. We can't kill the innocent. We cannot kill, except in self-defense or in legitimate and legal warfare and a few other instances. But in general, no. And so being pro-life does, in fact, mean being anti-abortion. It certainly does, and I don't feel bad about it. As a matter of fact, I'm happy when they call me an anti-abortion advocate. Again, I want to give out our number, 888-3187-884. Let me reset a little bit for you about what we're going to do this first hour. We're going to have Father David McConey with us, and it's be Ask a Priest, just as we did yesterday for 2 hours with Father Hugh. When we have these wonderful priests available to us, we like to do that. And then second hour will be a pro-life open forum on Ask a Priest. You can ask anything you want, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. 888-3187-884. You guys want to tell me what line Father McConey is on? He's on Skype. Okay, so I can go to the phones.
Can you hear me okay now?
Hey, there he is.
All right.
Father McConey, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Sorry about the connections. I don't know what's going on.
It's okay, because I've been wanting all day to talk about the possibility that Roe versus Wade is on its way out. So I got to talk about that for a little while. You've let me scratch an itch that I've had all day. But you ready to take some calls? Because we got people.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
All right. We'll start with Gerald in Vero Beach, Florida. Gerald, thank you so much for your call. Father David McConey is our guest. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much. Father, I'd like to ask a question about the sacrament of reconciliation. Often in the absolution, many of the priests use the formal prayer of the church, God the Father of mercies through the death and resurrection, which is a very beautiful prayer. When I go to the sacrament, I listen to that very carefully, and I think it's a beautiful prayer. On occasion, I've been to priests who don't use it. They'll say, in the ministry of the church, I absolve you. And it bothers me a little bit. And if I know a priest does not use that form of the church, I try to avoid that. And I don't know how serious that is. I don't think it's serious. I think the sacrament is still valid. But if there's some impediment there, I would love to, and I don't think this, I don't know if it's appropriate to just write the bishop and ask his priest in the diocese to use that formula of the church.
Father, yeah. Do priests have an option about the formula that they use, and does it make any difference?
Not
to the sacrament?
There, but no. But first off, your appreciation of language is wonderful. It is the sacrament of reconciliation. It's not just confession, as if getting things out covers everything, and it's not the sacrament of penance, as if to do burdens covers everything. It's to reconcile us to the Father through the crucifixion of Christ. Now, what's essential in the prayer is the ego absolvo te, I absolve you. And so the words leading up to that, in one way, could be secondary. Now, we all know the formula, we all appreciate the formula, but what's really essential are those words of absolution. It's as if to think of the Mass, there are different words leading up to the words of consecration, and those are, in one way, secondary to the, and this is my body, this is my blood. So I would have you concentrate on those words. Your sacrament and your absolution are valid. But if you have a preference, stay with the priest that you know, offer that one. Writing the bishop, I don't know. I don't know if the priests are doing anything wrong. It's just very unfamiliar.
Gerald, thanks for getting us started. Thanks very, very much. Let's go to New York. Austin in New York, watching on YouTube. You are up next. Austin, go ahead with your question for Father David McConey.
Hi. My question is, is the kingdom of God or church a society, or is there like a societal aspect to the kingdom of God or church?
Sure, right? There's a communal aspect to God himself in the Trinity. The church was founded so many individuals from every land and nation and tongue could come together in a harmony. And that is a reflection of God himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, who are perfect, diverse persons in one perfect unity. And so the church, the diversity, the communal nature, the societal nature really does matter, because that's what God wants. He wants billions of sons and daughters gathered to himself forever.
So does that comfort you there, Austin?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And that's why love of God and love of neighbor are inseparable, because they really do gauge and mirror one another.
Austin, you brought us right up to the break, so thank you for that. Austin, we'll take that break. We'll continue with Father David McConey, our guest, and your questions. It's Ask a Priest this hour. One line open right now, 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because it is the food of the saints that we receive. And for the saints, they understood rightly that the time after Holy Communion, that those moments are the most precious moments of our lives.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Catholic Answers Live. Third day in a row this week. Third day in a row with great programs, Darren. That's a really good job. Father David McConey is our guest. And I do want to stress again, because a lot of times when we have these Ask a Priest Hour, it feels like sometimes that non-Catholics do not feel quite as welcome to call. And I don't want it to feel that way. If you're not a Catholic, if you're not a Christian, and there's something you'd like to ask a Catholic priest, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. And Father McConey is a good one. He's a good priest to ask. He teaches historical theology at St. Louis University. And as I mentioned before, he directs that school's Catholic Studies Center. And he's the editor of the Homiletic and Pastoral Review, where he has to work for Mark Brumley. So you know he's got saintly patience. So your call, welcome, 888-318-7884. Let's see who else we got online here. Let's go to Mary in Denver, listening on 1060 AM. Mary, we're very grateful for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father McConey.
Hi. I have been calling in to different shows, and I guess I call in at the wrong time. So I'm glad for you to take my call. Thank you. My question is, I realize Satan is a fallen angel, but why does he have so much power?
Precisely because he is an angel. And in our fall, we allowed the devil to enter into this world. We are the ones who ultimately gave him not his power. He has that by his nature as being a spiritual substance, an angel, but we gave him the license to act in this world of sin.
Mary?
Now is your question, why doesn't God do something more about it?
Well, I guess so, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the Christian answer oftentimes seems unsatisfying when evil seems so immediate, but the answer is there was no greater result or no greater antidote than the cross, and we just need to wait and see how that plays out.
Does that satisfy you? Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead.
I guess I just question if Christ died on the cross for all those sins, then why is the devil still so prevalent?
Well, think of our own lives. If Christ died on the cross for our sins, why do I still sin? There's an attraction there. There's God respects our free will. That's the one thing that God doesn't want to manipulate, because it would no longer be free. He would ruin one of his own creatures.
Okay, Mary?
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Can we get a list of the shows that didn't let you on? I'd like to talk to those people that didn't let you on. That was not right.
No,
Mary.
It was my time.
Oh.
It was my time.
Oh, okay. So. Sure. All right. I think it was probably Dr. Ray. Let's go to Luca in Florida, watching on YouTube. Luca, thank you so much for your patience. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Father David McConey.
Yeah, so thank you for taking my call. My question is just, if Father David McConey were asked to identify an area where the leadership of the Catholic Church is significantly falling behind, like most significantly falling behind where it should be, what area would that be? Like, is it a professional type of professional question, a moral question, a question of orthodoxy.
Are you talking about bishops when you say Catholic leadership, or just everybody who's running the church?
Any just the current leadership of the church and the structures and you know, the way it's run, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough question because, as G.K. Chesterton was once asked, what's wrong with the world? He says, I am. That it's too easy to push this up the line. I mean, if we had a real, what would I say? If we had a real need for something, it would be for average Christians in the pews to rise up and become fire and to offer themselves more and more to the Spirit. And the leadership, the bureaucracies, the Vatican offices, those can only do so much. Is there scandal and sin there? Sure, like any organization. But the church is ultimately triumphant because she's ultimately the body of Christ, and that's who we are, you are. And so I would say to improve anything, we all need to grow in holiness.
Luca?
How to do that? Well, yeah, Catholic Answers.
There you go, Father. That was a good ad. But Luca, what do you make of that?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, thank you for the answer. That's very great. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I always find that answer very, unsatisfying in the sense that I want it to be somebody else's fault, Father. I don't want the problems in the church to be on me.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to Loveland, Colorado. Also listening on 1060 AM. Angela, thanks for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father David McConey.
Hi, thanks, Father. This is Angela, and I'm reading a book called Infiltration, and I can't think of the last name of the writer.
Oh, I'll think
anyway,
of it.
Anyway, it talks about... You'll think of it for me?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. It's somebody I know really well. I mean, I know his work really well, and I'm drawing a blank. Help me, Darren. Who? What's that? Taylor Marshall. Dr. Taylor Marshall. I'm sorry. I sometimes draw a blank like that.
That's okay.
Go ahead, Angela.
But he's talking about like the Knights Templar and things like this and the Freemasonry coming in, that they've been slowly infiltrating the church. And I'm wondering, how is that possible? And, you know, is this really something I need to worry about? Is it something that is just really not true?
Okay.
Is it detrimental to our faith? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Say a little bit more. I'm not familiar with this book.
Well, he's talked about since, like, Mother Mary appeared at Portugal, she said over in Portugal she would be the one, or that Portugal would be the place that the true faith would stay. So I'm thinking, okay, so do I have to, like, now move to Portugal or what? And they're saying that in this book, slowly, you know, it's being taken over by Freemasonry to run the church the way that they think it should be, rather than what Christ and the apostles did, because, like, lay Eucharistic ministers, I'm one myself. They're talking about that should not be. It should be only for men, and that, you know, I agree no woman should be priests. That's just not okay. But there's just several things that point to cause discretion, and it's making me disheartened, if you will, not of the church, but of this. Why is this out there?
Okay, Angela, I'm going to let Father respond. But I, you get the basic thesis of Dr. Marshall's book is that the church has been and is continuing to be infiltrated by forces who undermine the apostolic faith.
Right. And I don't think that is ultimately possible. I don't think the church is localized in any one country, in any one movement, in any one group of theologians. The church is under attack, for sure. We all are. But as ugly as things may be, I do think that we need to say this is the body of Christ, and she's going to be victorious even with all the scars. And so it's easy in this day and age to catastrophize all the things going on, but ultimately Christ will be victorious. So I don't think we should move. I don't think we should start hoarding food. I think we should keep living our lives as we do and let Christ reign. How, again, the practicalities of that depend on each of us. So blessings on your discernment.
Angela, that ease your mind a little bit?
Yes, it does. And I just wanted to to ask a priest that, you know, I knew would be able to answer.
You know, at the risk of embarrassing Father McConey, you're asking one of the great historians in the world today of the Church, and so I really want you to feel confident that you can trust that answer. There's this idea of being disturbed. There's no need for it. You can absolutely trust in Jesus and His Church.
Amen. You have to. There's no other lifeline.
Okay, Angela?
His Church. Yeah, that's absolutely where my faith is. I have
God.
No other love but God.
Oh, you are inspiring. So, Angela, thank you. Is there anything else we can do for
you? You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, all right.
That was all I wanted to know.
All right. Well, praise God for that. God bless you. And there's some other shows that won't even let you on. I don't know which ones they are, but I'm glad you got on with us, Angela.
Bye.
Bye. The number is 888-318-7884. There's only two lines open. There's only one or two staying open at any time today. Father David McConey is our guest. And it's Ask a Priest. You can ask a priest. There's oftentimes folks are like, if I only had a Catholic priest, I could ask that question to. Well, now is your opportunity. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Vicki in Omaha. Thank you for your call, Vicki. Go ahead with your question for Father McConey.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's a privilege to speak with you today. I just really find comfort in listening to your conversation and the words of wisdom that you shared with the last caller. I wanted to ask specifically, you know, what Father would recommend to practicing Catholics as far as like prayers and scripture that we can, or even other books, Christian or Catholic books that we can read and hold on to during this time where, you know, there is so much uncertainty and there is a lot of, you know, fear kind of being shared throughout our nation and, you know, a lot of unrest and undermining of God and in our nation. I hope that question makes sense.
It sure did, Vicki.
I'm really looking forward to grabbing on to some good scripture, and of course, all of it's good. But you know, especially for our times, and things that I can share with my loved ones who are, you know, almost fear paralyzed.
Okay, mm-hmm. Father.
Well, I think we should always go to the Psalms. The Psalms are where Israel's victory is foreshadowed and realized, and things aren't much different now. We're under attack. It might not be Pharaoh, but it might be masks and vaccines and government officials and the Taliban. But the enemy's always there within our own heart as well. And so the Psalms are the prayers of the Church, and this is where we meet Christ emerging from the chaos into glory. So I would start there, the letter to the Ephesians of Paul. There's great invitation to victory. The book of Revelations, you might think that's where to go, but that's a tricky one. So do that with a good commentary in hand or something.
Okay, Vicki?
Great. Thank you so much. You're just an answer to my prayers. I've been needing
Thank you, Vicki. Pray for us.
And this is awesome. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you. The prayers are what Jesus prayed. Am I right in saying that, Father?
Amen. Yep. Augustine says, in the Psalms, Christ meets me everywhere.
Who says that? Oh, St. Augustine said that.
St. Augustine, yeah.
In the Psalms, Christ meets me everywhere. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Because it's the most, like in those Psalms, it's the most wide-ranging kind of inclusive thing as far as human emotions go, human states go. It covers everything. We got time for another call before we have to go to a break. Let's go to Clay in Nashville, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Clay, you're on with Father David McConey. Go ahead with your question.
Well, thank you for having me, and appreciate it, Father David. My question is, my fifth child was born. His name's Christian, and we baptized him with a Latin baptism. I didn't know a Latin baptism was even an option. And it was a beautiful mass. And, you know, I started getting interested in Latin shortly after, just about a few months ago. And then I noticed that there seems to be a lot of controversy about the Latin Mass. Even this morning, I woke up to one of the Catholic news agencies saying that in North America, a college in Rome cancels Latin Mass. What is the why does it seem like Rome is starting to really start to throttle down or even try to, you know, completely get rid of the Latin Mass?
Father, I'm going to let you answer that, but in a couple seconds, the music's going to start playing. We got to take a break. So, Clay, could Francis
wants to unify all the liturgies into a more common, unifying and not a divisive us versus them kind of liturgy. That's his thinking.
All right. We'll be right back with more. Father David McConie on Catholic Answers Live. It's Ask a Priest. The number, 888-318-7884. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Hi, this is Johnette Williams. We bring you the truth of the Catholic faith on Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We've still got Clay with us from Nashville. And the question was about Clay experienced a Latin liturgy, baptismal liturgy, and became interested in Latin, and then asked Father David McConie, our guest, about what's all the controversy about Latin. We had to give the question short shrift before we went to the break. But Father, did you want to elaborate at all on your answer for Clay?
Well, when Pope Francis released the motu proprio this summer, trying to rein in use of Latin or the extraordinary form of the Mass and different sacraments performed in the old rite. The best interpretation is he was trying to unify us around one common liturgy. The fact that the Latin Mass, that's not actually the name is the extraordinary form, and it is extraordinary. So he's trying to bring us into the changes of Vatican II and to have us not be divisive that I go to the Latin Mass, you go to the English Mass. And that's his thinking. Now, I think the other side of the story is there's a lot of fruit in the extraordinary form. So I don't know.
Does that make sense to you, Clay?
Well, the only thing that doesn't make sense is the priest who did the baptismal approached us after the baptism, beautiful priest. And he says, and I told him how moved I was, even though I didn't understand all of the words or nearly half the words. And he said, Latin is used in most exorcisms because it is the language that Satan and the demons hate the most. So if that were the case, why would we be looking at throttling it back? That's kind of concerning.
Yeah, that's an early modern line. I think Satan, being a fallen angel, is not scared of any human language, but the content of the words, not the form of the words, whether it be in the name of Jesus. Doesn't have to be Jesus or Jesus or anything, but in the name of Jesus, Satan is cast out, regardless what language you use.
Clay, thanks very much. I'm going to keep moving. There is just one line open, but you're welcome to occupy it, because I'm sure we will have time to get to you. 888-318-7884, the number. It's Ask a Priest this hour, and our friend Father David McConey is here at your service to answer your questions. Now we're going down to Costa Rica, watching on YouTube in Costa Rica. Jason, how are you, Jason, down there in Costa Rica?
Hi there.
Wow, you sound like you're next door. We get worse calls from the town right next to us. This boy, they got good phone service in Costa Rica. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, thank you. So my question for Father is, if you can talk a little bit about the concept of slavery in the Bible and how it should be interpreted, understanding that the concept is very different from what we know today about slavery, right? So, and my reason for asking this is because I've heard some people kind of demeriting the teaching of the Bible and the Catholic Church because of this concept of slavery. So if you can expand on the real concept of slavery in the Bible, and if you can recommend any sort of reading or videos to watch around it.
No, that's a very good question. I mean, the notion of slavery has been something around quite a long time. And Paul, in the letter to the Ephesians, tells slaves to be obedient to their masters. But he also calls Philemon a slave. I think he calls him his brother, Onesimus, a slave who's his brother. So sometimes when we think of slavery, we think only of Africans brought over to America who were treated grossly and unjustly. But in the earlier world, there was a sense of slavery where there were more of maybe house servants. Now, I'm not justifying it, but I'm saying don't always think of the brutal beatings that we see in the movie, that say Roots or whatnot. It's wrong, but there's a lot of wrong things in the scripture that God used to bring about his kingdom, like polygamy in the Old Testament or Jephthah's sacrifice of his daughter and things. And this is what makes Christianity, I think, real. We don't sugarcoat things. We let some things that were ugly and wrong stand there to learn from the past. And so one of the first papal bulls of the 15th century was the abolition of slavery, that the Pope was trying to get people to quit selling people. And then in Plurimus in 1888, Leo XIII once again condemns the New World slavery. So we do have a tradition of both cooperating and condemning slavery in the Catholic Church.
Jason?
Okay, great. And is there like any sort of reading that you would recommend on this in specific, or any sort of videos to get more information about it?
Boy, how about something like the history of the Catholic Church and slavery? I would just Google that and see what.
I'm sure we have things at Catholic.com. It's not occurring to me off the top of my head. I think Father's right. You can try us here at Catholic.com. Just put in the word slavery. I'm sure that a good amount of material will come up. I'd also suggest maybe consider Trent Horn's book. What's the name of Trent's book? The Hard Passages? Hard Sayings. Yeah. And it's about the things in the Bible like slavery or like what appears to be virtually genocide in the Bible. So you might try Hard Sayings. But I don't have anything more specific if Father doesn't. All right, we'll leave it there, Jason. Thanks very much. Appreciate the call. It's Ask a Priest this hour. We're going to Des Moines, Iowa now. Jack, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Jack, go ahead with your question for Father David McConey.
Hi, Father. Thanks for taking my call. And so my question is, if you in the Old Testament, Moses, the other prophets, especially in Samuel and the Book of Kings, they talk about the people of Israel being the chosen people as per God, and those people eventually became the current-day Jews. And so I'm curious, as we go through history from them being the chosen people, what exactly did God mean by that? Are the Jews still the chosen people? How does that definition engage with us as Catholics when we're talking with our Jewish friends? And so I'm curious how to make that connection.
Right. That's a great question. yes, the Jews are God's chosen people. Salvation comes from the Jews. And in so doing, what I think God wanted to show us that his love is purposeful. It's selective. It's not an amphibious or kind of an ethereal kind of love that just pours out of him. He's a father. And fathers, they choose to love their children. It's not like a mother's physical emission response that mothers automatically love. But God's love is purposeful. It's selective. And he chose Israel, not that he condemned other nations, but he said, look, I'm going to choose the littlest and the smallest and the weakest of all the nations to show my power. And if you want to join, great. And some nations did. And then in the fullness of time, the nation, the land, the people became the world, the church. So I would say, yeah, our Jews are our older brothers and sisters in the faith.
Okay, Jack?
How do we respond then if our Jewish friends feel that compared to Christians, the Jews are still the chosen people?
Yeah. Well, I guess like any father, you can choose all your children to love just differently. It's a matter of office. You love the first as your firstborn, your last as your baby, and so on. So maybe that's the way God looks at Christians and Jews. These are the first, my firstborn, and these are my new ones. So, yeah. I mean, how to answer the Messiah question, I think the Jews are following what God has asked them to do. They're not completely yet aware of what God has done, but they have been faithful to at least what they've known.
Jack, thanks. Thank you very much for the question. It's
Jack, one of the shortest Vatican documents is Nostra Aetate out of Vatican II on world religions, and there's a nice little discussion of Judaism in there.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy document to find. Just out of the 16 documents, the Second Vatican Council, just put that in your Google machine, and you can get Nostra Aetate and read what the church has to say about our relationship with the Jewish people and God's relationship with the Jewish people. Thanks, Jack. Let's see where we're going next. We've been all over, even down to Costa Rica this hour. Let's go to Lakewood, Colorado. What's going on at 10:60 a.m. in Colorado? Are they having some kind of meeting? This is like our third call in 25 minutes from Colorado under 10:60 a.m. Nancy in Lakewood, thanks very much for your call. Go ahead with your question, please, for Father David McConey.
Thank you for taking my call. And I'd like to ask Father David, I arranged all my funeral plans like 5-6 years ago so that when I go, my kids don't have to do anything. It's all going to be arranged and done, and it's paid for. And at our parish, this past weekend, we had the Mount Olivet people come out and give a talk, and they were handing out these pamphlets. And I looked at the section on cremation, and the very first line said, cremation is allowed by the church, but it has less value than if the body were there. And it really upset me because I thought, what does that mean? The mass can't be the value for the priest's prayers.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I do.
Okay, so if I'm just to be clear, Nancy, so you made all these arrangements, and among them is for your own cremation.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Father?
Which the church allows. Cremation is, in one way, a fast forwarding what's going to happen to all of us, most of us anyway, returning to ash. And the church allows it, so there is not more value. The body is there, it's just in a different form, I would say. Now, the form isn't what we're used to, and that's what I think makes creation somewhat disturbing for some. We would rather see the corpse laid out as we remember her or him, but the ashes are a little more challenging. But nonetheless, the essence of the body is present.
Okay, Nancy?
Yes, so I don't have to change everything again.
No, please don't.
The church approved it. Okay, great. Thank you, Father David. I appreciate it.
Nancy, I'm sorry that disturbed you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's see. It's Ask a Priest. We'll go now to Patrick in Seattle, listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. Patrick, go ahead with your question for Father David McConey.
Yes. Thank you for fixing the phone number on the app. I'm able to call in now. So let's see. The father question for Father is, I've had some dreams in the past and recently of a religious nature, and I was kind of wondering what the Catholic Church's position is on interpreting dreams. Should we attempt to interpret them? Should we seek spiritual guidance? I'm just kind of wondering, yep, what guidance Father could give on that.
Well, that's a good question about which I know nothing. I mean, dreams are powerful. They're scriptural. God uses them to convey messages. But I wouldn't take them at face value all the time. I would talk with a spiritual friend. It doesn't need to be a therapist or a counselor, certainly not one of the dream New Age people. But just say, what do you think God's trying to do in this? Where should I take this thought or this nudge?
Patrick, I'm glad the app worked. We got to take a break. I went too long. Thanks, Patrick, for the call. More calls for Father David McConie on Ask a Priest coming up. If you'd like to call, 888-318-7884. And don't forget the second hour, Pro-Life Open Forum with Dr. George Delgado. Right back.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a 10th century saint, priest, mystic, and doctor of the church, honored as the first poet of Armenia.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Gregory of Narek is revered by Armenians as a watchful angel in human form. His masterwork, the Book of Lamentations, was intended to be his last testament, an encyclopedia of prayer for all nations. He was named a Doctor of the Church in 2015.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father David McConie is a Jesuit priest and a professor of historical theology at St. Louis University, in addition to many other hats that he wears. And he's here to answer your questions for a priest. If there's something you've always thought, I'd like to ask a priest, or maybe recently you've thought, I need a priest, I need to ask a priest that question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Next, we're going to Kansas, watching on YouTube. It's Fred in Kansas. Fred, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I got a question, but it's not for me. It's for a young man that I know that he has same-sex attraction, and every time he goes to confession for his sins of the flesh, he wants to know, should he explain to the, if it's a new priest, should he explain to them that he had same-sex attraction so that he knows, the priest knows where he's coming from. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. Well, if he's confessing a sexual sin, he would, I imagine, if it were masturbation, he wouldn't need to say it because that doesn't really depend on your orientation. But if he's engaging other men, I would say this is a factor that he should bring up, yes. Now, the Catholic Church, I think, is quite wise. There's no sin in the orientation. That is something that is, who knows, chemical, biological, cultural. That is morally neutral, but it can lead to graver sin, unnatural acts between two genders, two people of the same gender. So that should be mentioned, I would say. And hopefully the priest would be very understanding and compassionate.
Okay, Fred?
Well, as far as I know, he's not doing anything. I think it's on his mind. You know what I'm talking about? Oh. So he
needs to
tell the priest.
Okay, Fred. Father, how do you respond to that?
Well, I would have him look at the catechism. If he's worried about this, 2357 and onward. The 2359, homosexual persons are called to chastity. That they do not choose homosexual conditions, the church teaches. And for most, this is a trial. So.
Fred, I think that's clear. I hope that's helpful to you. Thank you very much for the call, and I appreciate that call very much. Let's see where we're going now. Stacy in South Carolina, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 130. Stacy, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father McConie.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. My question is on the tithe, the Old Testament tithe, and how that applies to Catholics. Today. So what's the Catholic teaching on the tithe?
I don't know if we have an official teaching. The word tithe comes from tenth, 10% of what one earns. And it's obviously in the collection brought up in the offertory, which is a symbol of one's labors throughout the week. I don't know if the church expects to have exactly 10%, but the church does expect everyone to partake in some way in the well-being and the financial costs of the church. So I always advise people, do what you can. Do what you can. Some people have found great graces in doing 10%, which is a bit of a stretch for them. But
okay, Stacy.
So I don't know if the church has an official teaching apart from we should tithe, and that means 10%. But if you can't, I don't think it's a sin.
So the catechism teaches that we need to tithe?
Sure.
In the sense of giving.
Right. In fact, Catholic Answers has question on this.
10%.
In the sense of 10%.
No, I don't think the church is that particular, no. God does not demand a fixed amount.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I know that some religions demand the 10%, and sometimes I hear the 10%, and people ask, is that on gross? Is that on net? Is that on, what if I have a billion kids?
See.
What if I have one kid?
Right.
You know, so
right.
It's literally the 10%.
I would say that's a standard, but you're not held to it literally.
Okay.
It's a guide.
Thank
it's like
you.
When prayers are said for 300 days off purgatory. Well, maybe, maybe not, but it gives you a clue. It gives you an index.
Stacy, thanks very, very much. Let's go to Mike in St. Charles, Missouri, listening on 1450 AM. Mike, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Sure. Father, thank you for taking my question. Appreciate your vocation and your service to the church. Just had a question. As a fellow Jesuit, I didn't know if there was any Father Martin's out there, you know, Father James Martin.
Oh, I thought you were a fellow Jesuit, Mike. You're saying the Father James Martin.
I'm not
okay,
a,
I got you.
I'm not a fellow Jesuit.
Okay, so you want to ask Father about...
Jesuit.
Okay.
I was going to ask him about... I don't really hear much from the church or from the Jesuits about, you know, silencing this guy, really, or suppressing what he says or even contradicting him. But he gets invited to places and he says a lot of controversial things about the church teaching on homosexuality and... And I don't know, it's a little confusing to me to, when someone like Father Altman, for example, in La Crosse gets, suppressed, removed from his church, but Father Martin's allowed to continue to say what he says.
All right, Mike, I'm going to let Father respond to that. Father?
Yeah, that is a common wonder. And Father Martin, so one of the Ignatian rules of spirituality is to try to always interpret your neighbor's actions and words in the most charitable light. And Father Martin is looking out for the dignity of the homosexual community. He feels they're being picked on. He may say some things that kind of get to the edge of Catholic teaching, but he rarely crosses that line. And he is a mirror to many who want to condemn a particular community. So I would say that's the best thing. Could he be clearer? Could he? He quotes the catechism when he needs to. And so he does try to present, he tries to present himself as a faithful Catholic. And so I think we need to give him the benefit of the doubt. He just met with Pope Francis. And I know a lot of people, conservative people like myself, wonder what was said. But I do give Father Martin the benefit of the doubt that he's trying to create a dignity and a respect and say, quit picking on just these people. What about the divorced and remarried? What about the contraceptors? And the church does all of that, right? The church, in her message, includes all sexual aberrations. And so, that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks very much. Father, we never get questions by name about Dr. Taylor Marshall or Father Martin, and then you get them. I don't know why everyone wants to ask you by
it's
name.
The Jesuit thing, I think.
All right,
Father Martin's very bright, and he's a good man.
Yeah.
So I do have a respect for him. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about some other controversial figures. What do you think about Henry VIII? No, let's not do that. Thanks, Mike. Call back anytime if you'd like. I'm just trying to keep moving, get everybody on that I can with Father David McConey. Up next is Dustin in Virginia. Dustin, you there with us?
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Go ahead with your question for Father.
The short version is, why is suffering such a key part of God's plan when we are created flawed, formed flawed? Why can't you just like ice cream and joy instead of suffering?
Why so much stick? Why not more carrot? Is that what you're asking, Dustin?
Yeah, that's a The more succinct version. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, why, Father? I don't know. I don't get it either. Why so much suffering?
Well, it's the great paradox of the cross. Suffering is how God tenderizes our soul. We all need to be rearranged, and through suffering, he does it. He makes us more tender, more aware, more understanding. I mean, think about when things are going well. You're usually thinking about yourself, but when things are going poorly, that's usually when you cry out for help and allow others in. I mean, rarely have any of us said, hey, could you pray for me? I'm having a really, really good day. It doesn't go that way.
Right.
And so through suffering, because it's been consecrated by Jesus Christ, we are being opened up and, like I say, our souls rearranged for what is truly good.
I hope that helps you. Dustin, it is one of the great mysteries. I'm going to go to Alex in Loganville, Georgia, listening on 1160 AM. Alex, thanks for your call. Go ahead with your question as quickly as you can, please, for Father.
Okay. Hey, guys, appreciate you taking my call. I have a question about confessors. So I've kind of been, I just started practicing the faith like 2.5 years ago. I've been going to confession, and I've, you know, in my research been, you know, looking up, sorry, I'm really nervous. I've been reading more about confessors and how they, I guess, that kind of relationship. How do you initiate that? I've read that you have to, you know, screen them in a way, like there's good confessors, bad confessors, entering into that, I guess, confessor relationship, as opposed to just, you know, going to a different priest every Saturday.
Okay.
Or every Saturday you go, what have you. What does that look like?
Well, I wonder if you're not maybe conflating confession with spiritual direction. Spiritual direction is an extended commentary on one's state in life, one's souls, one question. Confession can be in and out. Now, if somebody enjoys a little bit more of direction, then I would say ask a particular priest, when are you having confession? I'll come to you and I'll come right at the beginning before anybody else gets there. And we can have more of a conversation than just naming my sins and being absolved and leaving. Do they need to be vetted? No, I think the church does that for you. Some guys have more charisma than others? Sure. Are some guys wiser than others? Sure. But they're all valid and able to absolve you.
Now, so if I make, since you made the distinction, if you wanted spiritual direction, how would you go about that then? If do you see what I'm saying, Father?
Sure. Well, oftentimes people go right toward the priest or the nun, and oftentimes the priest and the nun are just too busy. I would say, who's a spiritual friend? Who's someone's prayer life you respect? Who's the old lady in the back of church who could meet with you every first Saturday and just talk about Jesus? It's better, as Catherine Siena said, to have a wise spiritual director than a pious spiritual director. So it's not an easy thing to find because people are pressed for time and direction takes a while. And I would ask, why? What is it you're seeking in spiritual direction? That might help you clarify what it is you want and who you could seek it from.
Thanks, Alex. I think I can do it. Theodore, you got to just ask the question as quick as you can if you want an answer from Father.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My concern is I am going back to college really soon, and they just mandated the COVID-19 vaccine. And as a
so the question
and not wanting, yeah. Is it morally okay to receive it, even though
the
it's
COVID
kind
vaccine
of against?
Okay. Father?
The bishops have allowed it, the CDF has allowed it, the USCCB has allowed it, so I would say yes. The Johnson & Johnson seems to be more directly related to the abortion stem cells, so you might want to go with Moderna or Pfizer.
Theodore, I'm sorry to rush you, but I was just very afraid that we wouldn't get you to be able to get an answer to your question. I think we got to almost everybody. I think we're leaving one on the line, but thank you for the call. Next hour, Dr. George Delgado will be here, and we're going to do a pro-life open forum. Dr. Delgado, of course, a board-certified physician, but also an ethicist. So if you have pro-life questions, next hour is perfect for you. Father Doctor, PhD, doctor, but...
Could be.
Yeah, could be. David McConey has been our guest. Father, may we and our listeners have your blessing before we go.
Through the intercession of all the angels and saints, may God bless you, Si, and all your listeners, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. It's very nice to see you again, Father McConey. We'll see you again soon, I hope.
Thank you.
As I said, coming right up, Dr. Delgado. So start dialing now if you've got a question about how to treat life in its earliest stages, in its latest stages, or when life reaches difficulties anywhere along the line. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884.